Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. I am the Ultimate Fan. This is the Ultimate Fan Experience. Ladies and gentlemen, today I have the what I call the new voice of the Houston Texans, my boy Cecil Shorts, man. Cecil, how's it going, brother?
I like that new voice. I like that.
I like that. You know, you got Mark Vandermeer. He's the old voice of the Houston Texans. But hey, man, you're on the field. You're doing your thing. You're constantly mixing it up with the fans. And it's really cool, man, seeing you out there every week, you know, just whether it be the Crown Royal game or the helmet turn or what, you know, all the cool things that you're doing, whether it be the Whataburger challenge, the field goal kick, you're out there, man. You're on the field. You're mixing it up with the fans, and it's really cool to see, man.
Man, it's a lot of fun. I didn't realize how fun it would be. I was very nervous about taking that job, first of all.
Right.
When they first offered it to me, I'm like, I don't know if I'm the right fit. I don't know if it's gonna be
I'm
weird.
A player, man.
I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, right. But to be around the fans and to interact with them and to see how passionate they are about the Texans, how much it means to them, and then this opportunity for them to come on the field.
Yeah.
It may be their only time they get to be on the field, right?
Right.
Maybe that only opportunity they can be that close to the players, to the referees,
right,
to everybody
kicking
around.
A field goal, whatever.
And they get to look up and see 80,000 people going crazy because the game's still going on.
Absolutely.
It's a crazy, crazy moment. So, man, it's a blessing to be there, but it's a lot of fun.
Right. And you got, like, a whole team behind you, too. Like, you know, we got the DJ booth running up there, really cool. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's like you guys are running around the stadium. It's pretty
man, Keisha and St. Chris, they call them now. Gotta make sure I say it right.
Yeah,
that was,
right.
Like working with them has been the best part of the job. One of
and Chris was on the show a few weeks back, man. He was talking about the DJ and stuff like that. So it was nice to see they brought him back. I think it's going to be a real hit this year with the stadium, especially with the boys rocking on the field, and you know him rocking the DJ booth is going to be really cool.
It's going to be a hit. Like you can't help but hear the music, right?
Yeah, and now it's like,
and think about it, when you in the mall or something, you hear music, you just gravitate to whatever's going on,
exactly,
right? But when you're on the field in that moment in the game,
right,
like when Sunday night comes and that kickoff is about to come and the music, whatever the song he chooses, it's gonna be,
it ain't just the mariachis, but
you
know, Chris is killing it too up there for sure. So I wanted to start this off, man. A lot of people might not know this, but like, you started off as the enemy.
You put it that way.
You put it that way, right? Yeah, you know, you're drafted by Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And, you know, you came and played for that team down to the right of us for a while. and then you came to play for the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go down for you as far as that went?
It's interesting. So in Jacksonville, like I said, I was drafted there. I played 4 years there. I think I had 3 head coaches in 4 years. I had 3 offensive coordinators in 4 years. I had 2 GMs in 4 years and 2 owners in four years. So for me, I was looking to go somewhere with some stability.
Right.
My first option, like, of course, I think everybody wants to kind of stay where you are to get that next second contract, whatever the case may be. I've been there 4 years. It's kind of like high school, college, right? You've been there, you know everybody, you know the city. But once we agreed, okay, they was like, hey, we're not going to sign you back. I was like, cool. Let me go somewhere stable.
Right.
Let me find a franchise.
And H-Town was
that
it.
That wins, that's about winning, that has the same, you know, it's stable from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And happened to be Houston.
Right.
And actually this, and really, really enjoyed my time here, but they treat you like home, like family.
Right.
Man.
And what a year it was, right?
Oh, it was a crazy year.
I mean,
year.
It was a crazy year.
It was a crazy year.
First to beat Indy. You know, that was a good
one.
He put us into the playoffs. You know, T.Y. Hilton always did a number with us anyways. You know, he always say that's, we don't talk about him too much. But, you know.
You know he got a son now?
I heard. And it's like,
he's good.
He's good.
Yeah,
right.
I want to say he's like University of Wisconsin.
He won't be that good, though.
But he is good. I'm like, oh, I'm getting old.
That fruit did not fall from the tree. That's for sure. Wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think any team has a wide receiver core the way we have one right now. I've looked throughout the NFL and I can see, you know, you got one or two good receivers, right? We got 5. I mean, if not 6 or 7 of top guys that are like going to be catching the ball and stuff. So my first question to ask you is like, you've seen them. I mean, I'm sure you've seen practices, you've been to and things like that. What is your take versus like when you played versus the core we have right now?
I think first off, right now you probably have the best wide receiver room in the NFL.
Right.
Like if you put your obviously your top three with Nico, Tank, and Stephon Diggs, right? You can put those three against anybody, just receivers, and nobody can match what they can do.
Right.
And we haven't seen the best of Tank yet. Like, we really haven't seen the best of him
yet.
Yeah,
and it was a shame when he got injured, but
he had, 794 yards last year and missed ridiculous. Four or five games. Exactly. Like, he's going to hit 1,000. So you will have 2,000-yard receivers last year with Nico and Tank. Now you bring Stephon Diggs in, who's hungry as ever.
Right.
Who the other day was talking to some media source and says, listen, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to prove everybody wrong. Listen, I didn't lose a step. I'm ready to get after it.
Right.
When he's motivated, when an athlete's motivated like that, and he's already one of the hardest working guys in the league, most durable receivers to play the game, it's going to be scary.
Right. It's like literally you said, I didn't forget how to play the game.
Oh, come on, man. He's one of the best guys the last 5, 6, 7 years in the league, just consistently. But even after the big three, you look at Mechie, who's coming along very well.
Hutchinson.
You look at Hutchinson, who has a bright future. Love his size and his ability. Dude. You look at Robert Woods, who's a solid guy, right? A veteran has been around a long time. Exactly. He knows where to be in the right spot. So if his number is called, I expect him to make plays, right? You have multiple guys. Then Steven Sims, who's doing a really good job in punt returning, or returning with a big return against Baltimore in the playoffs last year, right?
And don't forget Schultz. You know, you still got Schultz coming in on for tight ends. So.
So you add him to the receiver room? Don't add tight ends to the receiver
room. Yeah,
exactly. Different, man. Yeah, we're different. Tight ends got their own room. Receivers is separate.
Receivers,
it's separate. Just
you got to give that guy some credit,
but
though,
Schultz is you add him to the bunch.
Absolutely.
Like, you really can't double anybody.
Right.
You really can't focus on one person. Okay, say you double Steph.
Right.
Cool. You got one-on-one with Tank. You got one-on-one with Nico. Or
whatever.
Yeah. Say you're going to play deep and you're going to take away all the passes. Great, we're running the football.
Right.
So that receiver room is obviously, I think, one of the best in the game, if not the best. And you will see some special things happening from those big three, but the room is overall.
So let me ask you this. Do you see any weaknesses? I mean, the only thing I can see, I would see even a weakness, and I don't even think it's a weakness that much, but the part of that they're young. You know, like the Tank's young, Nico's young, still, you know.
The thing about the young part, when you have veterans like Robert Woods and Stephon Diggs, who've been around the game for a decade plus, those weaknesses kind of, they can coach those guys up on what they need to do and what they not need to do, right?
See,
what they see, what they don't see. Like, if you watch, you've been to training camp.
Yeah.
Like, Nico and Stephon are eating. Nico is and Tank are eating up everything from Stephon.
Yeah.
If it's during practice, if it's after practice, if it's, you know, Robert Woods talking to him, they're learning so much. They're a sponge
now. That's what Hutchinson was saying, too. He was like
the younger guys are learning. That's how a good room, no matter what position it is, should be. The younger guys should learn from the vets. And it's not by mistake Stephon Diggs is the captain. It's not by mistake his first year
which was
here,
just announced, by the way, by the time
first year here
out.
And he's a captain.
Yeah.
Right. He's given that example, that leadership since the day he came in the building.
Exactly.
So is there weaknesses? I can't say there's anything glaring right now. I would just say the guys got to stay healthy.
Right.
It's got to stay healthy and the special things that happen.
Well, you know, this week is opening week. We open up against another team up north, the Colts, who, you know.
Can't stand them, by the way. Just being honest.
I mean,
I played in Jacksonville. And it's probably because they were good, right?
Right.
Just being honest. They probably because they were good.
Right.
But you play against Jacksonville, you didn't like them because they used to always win the division.
Yeah, you had Peyton Manning all
and
the
time. And then
whole
I come to Houston and I'm like, I still don't like them because we couldn't beat them for a while, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then we finally do it.
2015. We were like, bam, we hit it finally.
That playful, you know, hate kind of just stays there.
Yes.
So anytime you play the Colts, I'm like, come on, we gotta figure out a way to beat them.
Right. And you guys did. And you know, and to get us into the playoffs. It was a huge push for us, you know, beating Indy, and they were like, you know, it was
a big deal.
Good milestone for us
big
to kind of move it forward a little bit and stuff like that. What should the offense be prepare for say the Colts? Like what should we be ready for? I mean, like you said, we know we have a good receiving core. Our running backs are, you know, I mean, Mixon is are we going to see him game one?
I'm confident we'll see him game one.
I know that was still like a, well, I'm not sure kind of thing or whatever.
I'm hopeful.
But yeah, me too. What should our offense be looking at for the Colts? Because to tell you the truth, I haven't heard anything that's scaring me about the Colts. But, you know, I know that young quarterback they have is
Richardson.
He's not a joke.
Richardson.
And he proved that last year for
athletic
us.
Ability. Kind of scares me a little bit. Just him being able to, I mean, his size, his power, him be able to run the football. Right. We saw a little bit last year early on, right? I think he had maybe two rushing touchdowns early on in that game before he went out. But his ability to break out the pocket and just run and just be a guy, right? That makes me nervous a little bit. I think their front seven is solid.
Yeah.
Zaire Franklin and those guys there. That front seven, the D-line is really good. Their linebacker core is really good. They'll come to play. Plus, you know, CJ and I think Zaire are going back and forth in different podcasts in the summertime.
I mean,
they had a little beef going back and forth, which makes the game fun to watch, right? I think it's a respect there. Yes. They obviously know each other. They're good. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I think it's a respect there, but they're going to try to, you know, go at each other for sure. So their front seven is good. Not sure about the back end. And then offensively, of course, you got Jonathan Taylor. You got to watch for him. Mr. Consistent, Michael Pittman Jr., he's been consistent the last 3-4 years. Why they gave him this money.
Yeah.
He'll have 1,000 yards. He'll make plays. He can make plays down the field. Big old guy. Mm-hmm. But I like our matchup with our corners versus their receivers, just being honest.
Absolutely.
I think for us on the defensive side, we need us to stop the run.
Right.
Like if you stop JT and then you make Anthony Richardson beat you with the pass, right? So you got to obviously blitz from certain angles. You can't blitz yourself the middle, let him get outside. You got to kind of
Contain the edge.
Contain the edge and be precise of how you want to blitz him, mixing coverages up, try to confuse him a little bit, and get some turnovers. But one thing I learned about turnovers, and you saw it in one of the preseason games, turnovers come in bunches.
Right.
So if you get the young guy to throw you one early on, it's more coming that game. I can guarantee you that. So, but he's definitely a guy to watch for the future. And I'm kind of mad he's in our division, but should be a good game.
If you could be in the huddle, play one, right? You know, kickoff, we're in the offense. You're in the huddle.
Okay, put my helmet on.
Right. What is the message that you give for the guys?
Oh, wow, you put me on the spot.
Yeah.
So I'll go very simple here. It's two of them. Number one, don't let the game speed you up. What we do in practice is the same thing we need to do in the game. The same technique we teach, the same fundamentals we teach, the same way we do everything. Let's do the exact same way. Don't let the game speed you up. Because what happens is the lights come on. It's going to be a whiteout. It's going to be crazy in that particular stadium in what they call Lucas Oil Stadium. It's going to be crazy there.
The Horse Factory.
But you can't let all the surroundings speed up what you do. Play your type of game. Whatever type of player you are, be the best player in your role. So if you're a special teams guy, be the best player in your role.
Right.
If you're a number one receiver, be the best player in your role. If you're our left tackle, be the best player in your role. If you just do your job and don't let the game speed you up, we'll be fine. We got too many players not to.
Let's talk about your teammates. Okay. You know, the guys you played with or whatever. You got any good memories about any of these guys? I'm going to holler off a name. You tell me what you think or if you got a story about him. But we'll start with Mr. Big Guy himself, J.J. Watt. What was it like playing with that guy?
Unreal. The plays he would make, because, you know, I played in Jacksonville, so you see all the touchdown catches he has, you see all the sacks, you see all the impact from afar.
Yeah.
Then you play him twice a year in the division, you see the impact he has, but to play with him every single game and to see what type of player he was, the type of work he put in each and every day.
Yeah.
Quick memory, he flew us all out to Wisconsin.
Okay.
2016 offseason. He flew about 30-40 guys out and we worked out there for like a week.
Right.
And just
that room is pretty intense. I've seen it.
Parents fed us well. a lot of team bonding. It was a lot of fun. It was a good it was a good time to spend with.
Was it cold or warm up?
No, it was decent.
A good team.
It was decent. So it was just good to spend time with the team and have that experience too. So it was cool. First time flying a private jet, too. That was dope. Never flew a private jet before that.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Sensational. One of the most naturally talented receivers I've been around. I played with Justin Blackmon, who a lot of people may not remember. Oklahoma State great. Yeah. Top 5 pick. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Played with Mike Evans. Still going. Eventually, future Hall of Famer.
For sure.
And then DeAndre Hopkins, just unbelievably talented.
Huge hands, by the way.
Something like that, 4X.
Just ridiculously sized.
Just ridiculous ability to catch the football.
Right.
You would think you have him covered, and you really don't. He's able to snag it no matter what.
Out of the air, man.
Very natural. A lot of people don't realize he was a hard worker. He cared about winning. He cares about winning. There was times we were on the sideline, and I think it was me, Nate Washington, Jalen Strong, Keith Mumphrey, some others. And he's like, "Hey, Cecil, are you open?" I'm like, "You damn right I'm open. I'm always open in my mind. I'm always open. I'm always receiver, open. Always don't think they open." Like, "Hey, coach, get him the ball. Hey, Nate, you like get us the ball." He was trying to find ways to get us the ball.
Yeah.
So that we can go down the field and win. He wasn't just thinking about himself, right? And I think maybe he gets that rap that, hey, he's a selfish guy. He's not at all.
Yeah.
I've never seen that part of him. He wants everybody to win. At the end of the day, he wants to win.
Yeah.
Does he want the ball? Of course. Every receiver wants the ball.
Of course.
But he was this special man, naturally talented, unselfish, and just when the lights came on, he was going to shine.
Yeah.
He was going to shine.
Arian Foster.
Ooh, man.
Mr. Probably, comedian now, by the way.
the smoothest running back I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just smooth, graceful. Graceful running the football. The zone scheme was set up. The zone scheme was made for Arian Foster.
Yeah.
Like outside zone, seeing him this stride to the outside, following Wade Smith and all of them, then cut back up the middle. Ooh. Like he was just smooth.
There, right.
Like just a smooth player.
I just remember how smooth he was at the Dallas game. I know we lost that game or whatever, but that Dallas game where he just went off.
What's the commercial? What's the beer commercial? The most interesting man.
Yeah.
He's Arian Foster is the most interesting man in the NFL. Like he has so many different interests. He has he's so talented if it comes to music, piano.
Comedian. Like he's like a comedian.
There's nothing,
like
it's nothing he can't do.
Yeah, and literally I mean, he's nothing. He's got a podcast running now, right now. I believe, you know, he's all over the place. It's
had some really good conversations with him in the locker room. Whether we're clowning, whether we're talking serious, whether it's we're on different sides of opinions. This is a really, really good dude. The most interesting man in the NFL.
Brian Hoyer.
Oh, that's my brother. That's my brother. Cleveland, man. Cleveland. We both from Cleveland. We always said when we retire, we'll coach together. But I think, I don't know if he officially retired yet, but I've seen him on doing like commentary for the New England Patriots a couple weeks ago. And I thought that was pretty cool. But Hoyer was awesome, man. Good leader, hard worker. In 2015, he knew the offense like the back of his hand because we ran kind of the same stuff they did when he was in New England. He was just a worker, man. Loved the game of football, loved his family. Really, really good dude. Fun guy to be around. Very genuine, very genuine.
Yeah, quick little side note. You know I'm Ohio boy too, right?
No.
Yeah. Born and raised.
I know you're from the Midwest.
Yeah, man. Yeah, born and raised, man.
Oh, I knew you were a good guy. That's how it is. I knew it. I just knew it. Okay, that's what's up.
Yep.
What part?
So I'm smack dab in the middle of the state, about 45 minutes north of Columbus. Small little town, Mansfield, Mount Vernon area.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So, a small little town called Fredericktown, Ohio.
Very nice.
I tell everybody when I moved away from there, they changed the population marker. It's so small. But, I love my hometown. I love my hometown. I wouldn't have rather grow up anywhere else. So
that's amazing.
But I got here Valentine's Day in 97. Texas didn't have a team, so I grew up a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but
oh, I'm sorry. Bit,
yeah, I'm, don't be sorry, man. That's
wait, you were born in Ohio and were a Steelers fan?
But I'm about to ruin
don't
his
say
mood
Michigan.
Here in a minute. Oh yeah, dude. I know, right?
We're done. We're good.
It's over. Imagine what it's like in my house. Yeah.
Really?
It was the helmet for me, dude. Growing up, it was the helmet for me. But you want to hear it's even another killer story? So growing up, my high school colors were scarlet and gray. That's literally. I played for the Fredericktown Freddies, and they were scarlet and gray.
What is wrong?
I don't know what was wrong. I'm telling you, it was the helmet. At that time, it was probably the whole Tom Brady thing. It was also probably the fact is that Michigan was winning more than Ohio State. Not to say that Ohio State came back, and now that I got to give them their kudos. It was Ohio State come back and evened up the score a little bit.
I'm not gonna lie, I can't even hear you.
I know. I know.
We're friends now. We bind with the Texans. But dog, how you from Ohio and like Michigan?
I figured.
No offense to Nico. Nico, we love you, Nico.
Absolutely, Nico, we do love you. And anytime you want to come on, you just let me know, man. You're right there.
But
hey, I mean, how do you think is being a Michigan fan in CJ? I mean, I was hard for me to swallow, but now I'm glad that I actually swallowed that pill. Yeah, you know, yeah. And he, I don't even think about that anymore. He's a Texan.
CJ never beat y'all though.
That is true. I didn't want to bring it up. I let you bring it up.
That was sad. It hurt my feelings.
You know, but
we need a whole other segment to talk Ohio State, Michigan. We need a whole other segment.
Well, that we can go. Just so you know, we will have a part two of Ultimate Cecil, Michigan, Ohio State. How about that? I'll bring Nico. You bring CJ.
There we go.
And we'll just have us a nice little conversation. How about that?
There we go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be a good one. Who would have thought that?
I know,
Ohio
right?
State quarterback throwing to a Michigan
That's
receiver.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
I actually think about it a lot. That's crazy.
Yes. I think that is the first time it's been done.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Jadeveon Clowney.
So Clowney's son went to school with my daughter Harper.
Okay.
So they were good buddies when they were in school. Clowney is just a fun, loving guy.
That he is.
Like, I love me some Clowney, man. And then he was interesting, too, because he would get a lot of flack because he wouldn't get, like, double-digit sacks.
Right.
He made an impact on the game.
Right. He let JJ be able to do
like,
a lot of that stuff,
him
too,
and so. JJ together were perfect, in my opinion. Like, it was a perfect
again,
duo.
Because, again, you work with that double-team thing.
Yes, a double-team thing, but he was able to make an impact on the inside, on the outside. He's a run stuffer. Like, he can make plays anywhere you line him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think for him, it was just injuries here and there.
Yeah.
It would just stand on the field. But
he did a killer thing with the Michigan, too. Good Lord.
Yeah, I was so happy he did that to y'all. That was a bowl game, too. He knocked y'all helmet off.
I knew that was coming. I had to bring it up.
I can't even say I apologize to the Ohio State fans. I can't even say that name. It's the school up north.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I say about
the
Dallas.
School up north.
The team up north.
The school up north. But anyways, exactly. Clowney, fun-loving guy, true playmaker.
Call of Duty with him.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. So,
until he got mad, I think.
Do you play NCAA?
I do not.
I would have beat you with Ohio State.
You probably would. You probably would. But, you know, we'll come back with that one eventually. One more, because I think this is going to be a good one, too, for some reason. But Jonathan Joseph.
Oh, man. I don't know if J-Jo knows this, but I look up to J-Jo a lot. And I'll never forget being in Jacksonville and playing against him. And J-Jo would come to me after the game like, hey, you're a good player, but y'all need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Because we knew y'all signals or we knew this or we knew that. And I'm like, huh. And we just kept talking from there. And we played him again. He'll say, hey, good job. Boom, 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 boom. He was a coach on the field.
And then you get on the same team.
Then we get on the same team. Now we're doing it in practice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like,
hey, what you see?
Now
hey, good
to,
play,
yeah.
boy. Like, we just – he was so special to me because – not only was he a special player, but he was just a genuine guy.
Right.
Like, he wanted to see you succeed.
Gotcha.
And what made him so good to me and why he lasts so long, I tell people all the time, the best cornerbacks, in my opinion, aren't the most athletic guys. It's not the 6'3", can run, can jump, can do all these things. It's the intelligent guys. Like, J-Jo knew exactly what was coming every time I played against him.
Gotcha.
Like, his intelligence of the game, his high IQ of the game, which has made him so hard to go up against. Like, he understood, he studied film. You can see it when you played against him. So, I was always been a big fan of J-Jo, and getting to play with him was pretty cool. Shout out to J-Jo, man.
Right?
Really good dude, really good dad. Really good dad. Big fan of him.
I love J-Jo, man.
Big fan of him.
This has been an awesome episode, and I got these little questions for you, man. I know you're going to kill this, man, but let's start off with who is the toughest corner? And I think I almost know that because I think you were talking about him, but maybe that's not him. But who is the toughest corner you ever faced?
Oh, wow. Darrell Revis.
Oh, okay.
Wow. And Jonathan Joseph, probably. Darrell Revis and Jonathan
One and
Joseph.
Two.
Yeah.
Nice.
Darrell was unreal. I mean, he got yellow jacket or gold jacket, they call it.
Right.
Gold jacket, right?
Yeah,
but
gold
Darrell
jacket.
Was crazy.
Right. What was your favorite stadium to play in, besides NRG? But what was your favorite stadium
to play in? I played in Lambeau Field one time. I always wanted to play in Lambeau and got to play in Lambeau. That was just – it was surreal.
Did you get to do that Lambeau
historic. Lead? I didn't. Actually, it was my first 100-yard game that game. But I didn't get a touchdown.
Right?
I didn't get a touchdown.
Oh,
it's a historic place. So being able to play there was pretty cool. And it's owned by the fans. Like, it's crazy.
It's just,
Like, you're driving through a neighborhood.
Everybody –
like, we're driving through, like, these homes, and I'm
you
like,
get a certificate
why are we driving through here?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, a stadium pops up out of nowhere. I'm like, this is cool.
most owners can actually walk to the stadium.
That's pretty cool.
Do you have like a go-to move when you get open, like to get you open? Was there a go-to move for you?
Oh, I don't know if there was a go-to move. Now, if you ask some of my teammates, they might say something different. I used to get teased all the time in Jacksonville about how I ran my routes and certain things. Okay. So they might say
they
something
might say
different.
That. All
but
right.
On top of my head, nah. I just try to get open. Just try to get open.
So, what was your most memorable game that you played for the Texans?
probably the Jets game.
Okay.
2015 Jets. My whole life I was a quarterback.
Okay.
Whole life I was a quarterback.
That. Bam. First on the Ultimate Fan Experience.
So
right
from
there.
Little League, from 7 years old all up until high school. And then in college I made the transition to receiver, but they still had me like kind of like wildcat or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But to be able to throw a NFL touchdown.
Okay.
To Alfred Blue.
Yeah.
That is
my boy Blue.
Cool. That is pretty cool. So that's probably my most memorable moment. It's a few of them, but that's probably the one that stands out the most.
All right. Which defender hit you the hardest?
Patrick Chung. 2000.
Clean the clock.
2012. All right, here we go. 2012, quick. I was running what we call a pot route. So I come in 5 yards. I get up to about 10 yards, and I cut across the safety's face, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a short
little
post route.
Pop route, yeah.
And normally run against too high, and we're playing against the Patriots, and we're driving down the field. I'm in Jacksonville to beat the Patriots. Mm-hmm. We're driving down the field, right? So we're driving down the field, and what happens is it starts in too high, and I believe one of the safeties come down and spies on me. Mm-hmm. So he comes and looks dead at me. Quarterback doesn't see it. I don't see it. I still run my route. There's no adjustment to my route anyways. Mm-hmm. He throws it. I'm thinking I'm about to catch it. As soon as I catch it, his head hits my head. Mm. That's the best sleep I ever had in my life. His helmet hit my helmet. The best sleep I ever had in my life.
Man.
So Patrick Chung hit me pretty hard, yeah. That ain't even sound right. That ain't sound right. Patrick Chung tackled me hard. Like, Patrick Chung did a football tackle.
On you.
On me.
I got you.
Kind of.
Yeah. We'll edit that out.
Yeah. That ain't sound right. It's like head to head. Like,
right. What's the
no diddy, no diddy,
no diddy, yeah, no diddy.
No diddy.
Oh, the first no diddy on the Ultimate Fan Podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
You get what I'm saying? No,
I
he
got
came,
you.
He came
100%.
I went for it. He came and hit me. He knocked me out.
I know
me
you
out.
Think this is getting cut out, but
he knocked
not.
Me out. It's all good. He knocked me out. No, that was seriously the best sleep I ever had in my life.
Right. Best advice you ever got from a coach.
I don't know. I had a lot of good coaches in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, it was so many good coaches I was able to be taught by. I'm grateful for all of them, honestly. Grateful
That's
for
awesome.
All of them.
I really want to know this. Who's the best trash talker on the field at the time you were playing? Whoever, like, the corner that you
the
were going
to the best trash talker?
Yeah.
Pac-Man Jones was probably Pac-Man the Jones. Best trash talker. He would just say stuff.
Just random stuff.
Like, I remember being that punt return in my rookie year. He like, you trash. He's not even on the field. You trash. You ain't about to catch it. You look scared. I'm like, dang, am I scared? I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, I don't even know.
This man's
like,
in my head already.
Like, what the heck?
Right.
But he was really good. Cortland Finnegan was interesting.
Oh, man.
Like, he was a guy. I didn't understand Cortland. Like, he was just doing stuff. Like
nonsense.
It was one time, either my rookie year or sophomore year, I had to block him at receiver and I pancake him. Like, I get him clean. I'm like, oh snap. Ooh. I put him to the ground. I'm like, he kind of light my ass. Yeah. I'm like, boom, put him down. Right. And then he get up, he just start talking. I'm like, dude, what you talking about?
So
you
he just so got he kind of did the same trash that he did to you that he did to
he did
Andre.
He did that to everybody. It's just
I heard
Drake,
that was
Drake
across
took care
the board.
Of it.
Yeah.
That was him every
the
game.
One hitter quitter. Right.
That was him every game. It just Drake took shout out to Drake. Yeah. He just took care of it.
Shout outs to Drake. Memorable fan interaction.
Memorable fan.
And it could be, you know, it could be now too. I mean, I know there's you deal with a lot of the fans right now too, but
one that sticks out. I was playing in Tampa. I played with my wedding ring on.
Mm.
And I had, you know, glove over it. And I gave after every game I always gave my glove to a fan.
Mm.
So after the game, gave my gloves to a fan.
Oh, the ring was
not realizing my ring was in the glove.
Wow.
So he went over him, a kid went over and beyond to find
get
me,
it back to
get
you.
It back to me.
That's cool.
And I didn't even realize it until, you know, I'm like, wait, where's my ring at?
Yeah.
And I'm looking for it at the house, and I get all these messages, and he's like, hey, we got it, boom, boom, boom. Like, he went over and beyond for a fan, because he could have kept it.
Yeah.
For a fan, for me, and a young boy at that, to go over and beyond and give me something that meant so much to me at the time, it was pretty cool.
Right. So we all kind of know what's going on now, you know, with what you're doing with the Texans and being on the field and being the energy in NRG, which is awesome. But
that's a bar, by the way, the energy in NRG. That was like a bar. Yeah, that was clever. All right.
I've been saying that one for years. I always tell everybody I am the energy in NRG.
There you go.
Yeah. In the future, where do you see us going now that we've built this great core team? Mm. I mean, are we headed for a dynasty?
I think you have the pieces. I do. And I think the moves that Caserio and D'Amico made this offseason says you're trying to win now. And that's the smart thing to do. You don't have to pay, because eventually you got to pay CJ Stroud $500 million probably. That's just what it is.
I heard that last night while I'm sitting there.
You're going to have to pay him a bunch of money.
Yeah, Steve was talking about that.
If he continues to ascend, which you want him to do, which he would earn it, right? But when you have a young quarterback so good and such a good leader, and when you have a coach that's such a good leader, that people are going to run through a wall for, those are the main two pieces you need. Now it's about surrounding them with other ingredients, right?
Yeah.
And what they did this offseason, you're setting yourself up for long-term success, and you're not setting yourself up bringing in old guys. You're bringing in younger guys as well. Like, you're drafting well. You're developing guys well. Like, Tank and Nico are part of the draft classes that Caserio had, right?
Right.
When you develop from your draft class, and then you bring in key pieces like a Stephon, like a Daniil Hunter, like a Joe Mixon, now you're potentially putting together, like you said, a dynasty. Right. So I do think they're serious Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. We got tons of primetime games so the world can see how good the Texans are.
Yeah,
it's the real deal. It wasn't just a fluke.
Yeah.
I think people are saying, oh, year two, that Stroud's going to struggle. No, in year two, Patrick Mahomes won an MVP. In year two, Lamar Jackson won MVP. In year two, CJ Stroud, I think he's going to win MVP.
There you go.
I think it's set time. In stone. It's time. But he has the surrounding pieces around him. He has the coach around him. The organization is aligned.
Yes.
That's a big deal. When the organization is aligned from top to bottom, you're a hard franchise to beat on and off the field.
I'm going to end it with this. What's your message for the Texans fan heading into this season?
Ooh, my message to the fans. And I'll be honest with you, like, one thing I learned in 2015 and 2016 when I was here, they're loyal.
Yes.
Like, loyal to a fault almost. Like, they're loyal. They love their Texans.
Absolutely.
So I would say continue to love their Texans.
Yeah.
With high expectations, there's also that pressure that amounts with it, right?
Yeah.
So if you have the younger quarterbacks, some of your younger players, let them evolve.
Yeah.
Don't get frustrated. Get behind them. Support them, right? Support your coach.
Absolutely.
You got 5 primetime games this year. Like, this is a lot. When you win a division, your schedule gets tough. That's just part. That's the nature. That's the nature of it, right?
You want to be the best. You got.
So even with the additions, and we're expecting all this stuff, be patient.
All right.
But it's real.
Yeah.
Like, it's real. You got a darn good team.
Yeah, we do.
Houston, you have a darn good football team.
We don't have a problem, Houston.
You have a darn good football team. You got the coach, you got the GM, and you got the quarterback.
Right.
So I do think Super Bowl aspirations are a real thing. But just continue to support and to love and stay true.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Cecil Shorts on the Ultimate Fan Experience. Man, it's been a great show, man. Can't wait to see you all next week. We'll see you later. Take care.